This hour of the show is brought to you by Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. Busy show. I'm going to start with my top news picks. Angela joins me to analyze this, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Flash mob. Did you see the video of this thing?
No.
So this flash mob happened. These are happening more and more throughout the country. This was in Canago Park, which is somewhere in LA, I guess, at a Nordstrom, at a mall, right? And a group of 20 suspects,
allegedly,
all on film, came in and they broke through the doors of the Nordstrom's. It says Trendy SoCal Mall, and are believed to have stolen up to $100,000 worth of merchandise from Nordstrom.
Dang.
And of course, they're all wearing masks. I'll pull up a video here for folks who watch us on YouTube. They're all wearing masks. And they're just grabbing stuff left and right. Bear with me here as I get the video up here.
What did they take that was $100,000?
Well, I don't know. Clothes and, you know, sort of, here it is up on the screen. You know, they're just grabbing stuff. See? They're just coming in. They overwhelm. There's one guy there who's like the store worker or whatever.
So this was in broad daylight. It wasn't broad daylight, like 2 a.m.
Yeah, this something. Guy just grabs the whole shelf. He's got it. It's like whatever was there was hooked up to like, you know,
like a
chain and everything. Yeah. And you just grab it. So they just go in. They're all wearing, you know, hoodies and this and that and the masks and just grabbing whatever they can. And California has this law that if you steal, of course, $100,000, but each of them are taking probably a few hundred dollars worth of merchandise, right? But, you know, they have that thing. If it's under, what, $1,000, $950 or something like that, they're not going to prosecute. So don't worry, word gets out. Hey, you're not going to get charged. So go steal stuff. And there's a lot of people in this world nowadays, in this country, that have no moral values whatsoever. And
clearly.
And they feel entitled to stuff. They've, in fact, been just, it's been pounded on them that, hey, you've been shorted. You're entitled to just go get stuff.
Well, I mean, everyone's a victim.
Everyone's a victim, yeah.
They've been raised that way or just brainwashed.
And society's taught that. Media's taught that. I mean, just a few months ago, we were talking about California and this commission on the reparations. Mm-hmm. And it was, I can't remember what number they came up with, but it was hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars that they were offering to give to Black Americans dating back to slavery to the tune of just, this thing was out of control, billions and billions of dollars. So my point being, every day, they're pushed this in their head that, hey, you're entitled. You're entitled. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they're going to go in and grab stuff. And I'm not, this wasn't just black. There's black people, white people. You know, there's the video I saw had people, races of all different ethnicities, whatever, represented there. And that's, it's a society thing. And it's totally out of control. Crazy. I would ban the masks, first of all. Say no more masks because people are, you know, they're using that. They're hiding their face and stuff still, and they act like COVID's still, I guess it's still happening, but
that's not
just
why
like everything
wearing.
Else. That's not why they're wearing the mask. So anyway, what concerns me is that you're going to see this continue to happen, and I think it's by design. And as people get stuff stolen, you remember that 7-Eleven video that came out or that convenience store last week in California, and the owners took it in their own hands. These guys came in and said, what are you going to do about it? You know, I'm stealing stuff again. And they just started beating the heck out of them. Mm-hmm. You know, they grabbed a broom or whatever and just, you know, just beating the heck out of the person. Now, they're probably going to get charged with like assault.
Yeah,
the employee or the owner or whatever, right? So I think what's going to happen is you're going to continue to see this and weak response, but eventually most people in America are going to stand up and say enough is enough. We need a strong man. We need, or woman. Mm-hmm. But typically throughout history, the dictators have been men. But I guess if I've learned anything, because we've been kind of pounded in our head too, that once the women take over, they're going to be such great illustrious leaders, and they've proven to be as defective. There's no difference between, no matter who you put in these positions, they get power hungry. But I think that people are going to call for that strong man, and they're going to call for the dictator to come in.
They tried to recall Newsom, though, and that didn't work. I mean, what are they going to do in California?
Yeah, well, I mean, eventually people like him will even crack down and say enough is enough. And, hey, you just got to give me more authority, more executive power, and I'll crack down. Next thing you know, they'll be like, let's put the troops on the streets and, you know, let's just have tighten everything. That's what I worry about, because no democracy has ever survived. Every democracy has turned into a dictatorship at some point, because because it seems to create out of control, especially as people learn how to vote themselves free stuff.
When you get more and more people, and then it's harder and harder to control that many people. And
pretty crazy. Love your thoughts on that one. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. More top news picks here. I have 93 when I took my last notes, but I just saw that the death toll in Maui has ticked up to 96 for the wildfires that happened there late last week. The cause is unknown, but the finger pointing to a couple different things is already taken. I mean, it was like the fires are still raging, and the finger pointing
5 minutes ago, and they already know it's from climate change.
Well, it's climate change. We talked about this on Friday.
I know,
we know it's
saying
climate
that
change.
Within.
It has all the tweets were seconds. Coming out from all the you know, the politicians that know nothing. And many of them have never even had a real job. They went to college and then got a staffer position. And then next thing you know, they're in Congress. And so these people are experts now. Of course, it's climate change, but other people, and it's too early to tell, they're pointing to the electric utility company, that there was a lot of warnings that went out, and even warnings to kill the power in certain areas because of there was a hurricane going by.
Something was wrong with it, or?
Well, it was very dry conditions, and there were some fires already, I guess. And then there's a hurricane out at sea, like 800 miles or something. It was predicted to blow very high winds. So then the winds kicked in. We know this, living in Arizona. Winds kick in, they fan up the fire, and then you got the utility lines. So then transformers and whatnot start exploding. They kept the line. Well, from what I'm hearing, they kept the lines juiced, which is a big no-no once this all gets going. Right. So somewhere between climate change and human error and the electricity utility grid lies the answer as to what happened with this huge fire that.
Wait, are things still on fire there? Or because I haven't
not at that town that was Lanai or whatever that town is there.
Lahaina.
Sorry, yeah. I don't think so. No.
Okay, so the fires are.
I can't say that for a certainty. Okay. I haven't followed the whole island as far as are there wildfires that are still going.
Yeah, did it keep
I mean, there's
going.
Still probably wildfires here in Arizona, but believe it or not, like I said last month. July is really hot, and don't worry, monsoons are coming, and it's going to cool down. And you know, here we are, Angela and I, wearing sweatshirts. And get my hoodie on here. We've literally got sweatshirts on because it's like in the 60s outside.
Yeah, and we're not just proving a point.
It's chilly.
It's kind of chilly.
It's chilly. Yeah, and it was even in Verde Valley this weekend. It wasn't bad.
Yeah,
you know, it's a little humid still, but that's the time of year it is. So anyway, these politicians, they've got to find, you know. They know the cause right when it happens. They've made up their mind. There's no debate. Yeah, we've seen that before. The reality is, and this is tragic, when this stuff happens, and I'm going to talk about it more in just a bit, but sometimes everything just lines up in a wrong way, and it just this kind of stuff hits. The toilet paper fire in Flagstaff in our town, we call it the toilet paper fire. The guy decided to light his toilet paper up on Snowball, but by the ski resort, and wind just happened to pick up at that time, and then it blew, and it was a huge fire, burnt down homes, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are the odds of all that lining up? Yeah. So my heart goes out to the folks in Maui, but sometimes these things,
especially in such a beautiful place.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, not that it's not tragic anywhere, but, and those, it's just so small there. There's not other places to go, and
it's,
you know, there's just not a lot of options for people.
And Hawaii doesn't have a diversity of job opportunities, or at least tourism. And
that's what I'm saying. They just don't have
military
options, really. A lot of people.
It's too bad, but we'll talk about it some more, because they always make this sounds like we get lost in it's the worst ever for every situation. I think as humans, we have a short-term memory, and very few people study history, but this kind of stuff just happens all the time. It's not climate change. This stuff happens all the time. You've heard about places burning down before. Alexandria in Egypt, the great libraries. We're going way back, thousands of years. Chicago, Rome, Rome's where London. And I'm not trying to put light on it or diminish it in any way, but we have to sometimes step back and say this tragic stuff does happen. And sometimes you're not going to be able to point a finger to exactly what caused it. Sometimes you'll find out, but to blame everything on climate change is getting old. And these politicians, they just need to stop. Because first of all, what are they going to do? Well, what are they going to do? How about here in Arizona? Here's one for you. If you're the governor, Governor Hobbs, what you do is you declare a climate emergency. So that's the new thing. Or not a climate emergency. I'm sorry, a heat emergency. Let me get my terminology right, because they want to declare a climate emergency.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have already.
Many places. They want Biden to do it now.
Yeah.
But Governor Katie Hobbs declares a heat state of emergency. Let me get the terminology correct here. Because why? It gets hot in Phoenix. I mean, you know, it gets hot in Phoenix. So she declares on Friday.
It's 104 right now.
Yeah. 104, which that's hot. But that's not hot for Phoenix.
It's August. It's normal.
Yeah. So she declared a heat emergency because in July, supposedly, allegedly, Phoenix was above 110 degrees for like 30 days or something like that. Mm-hmm. Although I question that. I mean, I question where these thermometers are. I'm skeptical of these people because they've lied to us so many times in the past. It was a hot July. I'm not denying it was a hot July. It was hot throughout Arizona. Mm-hmm. So she's declaring this for Maricopa County, Pinal County, I believe it was. And we're going to talk about this more in just a little bit as well in more detail. Let me get this right. Coconino, Maricopa, and Pinal counties. Coconino? Really?
Yeah, because up north on the res, it's they dry, declared, hot.
So she declared her state of emergency for the heat because these other counties had areas that declared heat emergencies themselves. Coconino County, it was the Navajo Nation that declared a heat emergency because it got really hot, just like it was hot all over the state. But you think about all of Coconino County and the mountains and areas like that where it was, what, in the 90s? I mean, but, it's just ridiculous.
It's like 75 here right now.
Oh, I don't think just, it's 60. I think it's in the 60s out there. And what's your weather app say? Which is probably inaccurate because it never says it's going to rain anymore. And it never says, you know, it gives me warnings. I got a warning the other day on that app that there was severe flooding coming. It was like clear all day. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can't even rely on this stuff. So anyway, she's declaring that heat emergency. So that way they can basically open up the floodgates of money and create all kinds of new committees and commissions and new processes.
Yeah, not to mention the headlines.
They love to get the headlines. And then she can go to her base and say, I did it. I did it on a Friday. My guess is that she did this on a Friday. What would that have been? August 11th, August 12th?
11th.
Two weeks after the heat wave ended. Nobody does that on a Friday and wants to get lots of attention. She did it so she could send out the email to her supporters that the extreme leftists, the enviro nuts, to kind of calm them down and say, you see, I did it. I did the heat emergency and then go away. And then you never hear it. But it creates certain authorities when they do this, certain powers that these, you know, politicians will have when they declare emergencies. Anyway, love your thoughts as some of the top news picks that I wanted to hit on to start off with. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@iCloud.com. We got video up on the website as well and YouTube. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't done that. Just look up Orvitz, O-R-A-V-I-T-S, and I appreciate everybody who's done that and watched the videos. If you are in the middle of a heat wave and you need your AC unit tuned up or maybe restarted, or like us, if it's getting to the point where you're thinking about maybe I got to flip the heat on or somewhere in between, call Gettles High Desert Mechanical. Gettles did a great job for us in Flagstaff fixing an older unit. I've told you about this many times. Look, they can take care of your HVAC systems throughout central and northern Arizona. They've been doing this for over 30 years, including plumbing. Call Gettles High Desert Mechanical at 928-567-2200. They'll get in there. They'll fix it. You need a new unit. You need a custom design unit, retrofitting, and like I said, just general service on your HVAC system. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, 928-567-2200. That's 928-567-2200.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
Sportsman's Bar and Grill has been voted the best sports bar in Flagstaff 13 years in a row. They've got 17 TVs for all your sports action. Plus, all day, every day, you can always get something good to eat off their $4 menu. And don't forget, Sportsman's Bar and Grill has happy hour going on all the time. $3 Mexican canned beers and hard seltzers, $4 daily craft beer specials, and $4 pint specials. And don't forget about their daily specials. I go there a lot for these great specials, including Taco Tuesday. They have awesome tacos at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Wing Wednesday, half-price wings. You know, these wings are like gold nowadays, so take advantage of Wing Wednesday. Get half-price wings. And Thursday night at Sportsman's Bar and Grill, you get $3 sliders. Sportsman's Bar and Grill up by the hospital, just north of downtown Flagstaff in the Bashes Shopping Center.
Listening to the Jeff Horowitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Now I want to hit on a couple of Arizona-specific items, even though the heat one was, but heat emergencies and Hobbs doing that. I think you're going to see more and more, especially Democrats, governors doing this as we go. They have to declare an emergency for every single thing. But let's hit on a couple of Arizona news items. In Coconino County passed a short-term rental ordinance. It's effective November 13th. So the city, didn't we have somebody on talking about this? City of Flagstaff, might have been Councilmember Matthews. City of Flagstaff passed a short-term vacation rental ordinance. The state has now, the legislature has now allowed towns and counties to implement some restrictions on the short-term rentals, but it's pretty limited. And the city of Flagstaff did one. I know other communities are looking at doing this. Coconino County now did it for units under 30 days. They must be habitable. So it can't be like a teepee or a shed, or glamping. You know, that's become a big thing, the glamping thing. You know, you go and I've never done that. I mean, last time I camped out a couple weeks ago, I just rolled down a blanket on the ground and just hoped I didn't get eaten. That's how you're supposed to do it. But apparently you step it up and there's this whole glamping thing going on. People set them up in their backyards and they actually look pretty nice. Mm-hmm. So they rent a hotel room or whatever. It's not like the Griswolds when they go to rent the tent in vacation. But no, you can't. It has to be habitable. You have to get a transaction privilege tax license. They want to make sure they collect their taxes.
Yeah, they need their sales tax.
They need their money. You got to pay up to a $250 fee. Gee, I'm seeing all the help that this is doing for the neighbors.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is like what the city did, which is notifying your neighbors. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's the emergency contact information, et cetera, et cetera. And they banned certain activities like party houses, which I didn't think you could really do anyway because the cops would come. They even mentioned things like using the places for adult filming, video, things. I don't know if this has been a thing, like people are renting these and they're creating,
I wouldn't be surprised.
On channel or whatever. Okay, yeah. So there you go. So this is going into effect November 13th. If you have a short-term rental in Coconino County now, you better be aware of some of the regulation change. Let's see, 13, you saw this one, 13-year-old boy rescued by rope after falling.
Yeah, at the North Rim.
Yeah, was that the North Rim? Mm-hmm. Rim? 70, yeah. I still, you know, believe it or not, I've still never been to the, we've driven past there.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Was that Fredonia there? And
like Jacob Lake.
Jacob
area.
Lake. And we've kind of gone through that area up to Utah, Kanab, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, North Rim, the boy, 13 years old, fell 70 feet and he lived. And they were able to lower the ropes.
He's from North Dakota.
Oh, he's from North Dakota. Yeah. I, you know, 13 year old boys, I don't know what happened, but our son.
I think it was truly an accident. I don't think he was like goofing off.
Well, remember Owen just last week, we were at the pool and he was doing like push up.
He went to go like on the fence. There's like a wrought iron fence.
Yeah. Around the pool.
And he went to like kind of push himself up and just kind of I guess, and he lost his balance and he went head first, like the wrong way
over the other side. Yeah.
And then fell like down on the ground.
Luckily he
sprained his wrist, but that was it.
Yeah. He just went whoop, right over.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
I looked over, all I see is his feet in the air.
Kids do dumb things, especially boys. I don't know what happened with this one, but I'm glad that he's okay. He's stable and recovering.
I guess some guy last year, I think a different person died in that same area or something from a fall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people have fallen up there just because of the photographs. Taking pictures. Yeah. This is very common.
Yeah.
People, especially with
Even if you're not, you hit a slippery spot. I mean, we've been up there with when there's ice on the trails before.
Well, we've hiked up from Phantom Ranch before.
Some spots on the south side, it's a little,
as you get up, if you're going, if you're hiking in November, if you're hiking in March, April, even
and
into
especially
May,
if you have
you
a pack
shade,
on and your center of gravity is a little off.
Yeah, you can.
You hit ice or a slippery spot or
most
rocks.
Most of the spots are several hundred feet.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. All right. So I'm glad he's okay. Be careful up there, of course. Flagstaff first, which I believe we have on, I think later this week. I don't have a schedule in front of me. This is a group that's trying to bring some sanity to City Hall. We had them on. We're trying to get them on maybe every quarter. Some of the environmental regulations they've been really focusing on, the Carbon Neutrality Act, you know, the city's doing that and they've been pushing for getting rid of your gas appliances and all that. Well, apparently tonight at 5:30 p.m., and if you're listening to the podcast, it is Monday, August 14th, there's a meeting. They're having their monthly meeting at the Flagstaff Aquaplex. Flagstaff Aquaplex in, I don't know which. Go to the Flagstaff Aquaplex. You'll find it somewhere. 5:30 p.m. And they have the city's director of sustainability, Nicole Antonopoulos is her name. Actually, when I was down at City Hall, I worked with her sometime. And nice person, but the policies are getting really kooky down there.
Yeah.
And the sustainability department has a lot of power in the city of Flagstaff. It used to be just like a division, and they had to report their ideas to different departments. Right. And it's like, okay. Now,
advisory type
now it is a powerful department within the city.
Yeah.
And they're sprinkling their Enviro stuff everywhere, like Skittles. I got a Skittles story I want to share with you.
According to some people, you know, we're just leaps and bounds behind a lot of other places. So they're wanting to catch us up.
They want to catch up to Boulder and other places like that.
Vancouver.
And Portland. It's like, they're making such strides. Have you walked around Vancouver? It's like, it's the Walking Dead with heroin
addicts.
Yeah, good
luck not tripping over someone in their tent. That's,
it's real environmentally friendly as long as you don't trip over someone and stab yourself with a syringe.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not kidding. It's
no joke.
It's bad up
people
there.
People sleep in a tent on the sidewalk.
Oh, no. You right in the main part of the city, the tourist place where the cruise ships let out, there's a tent, and it's sad.
More than
there's
one
people
tent.
People in there with needles stuck in their arms. They're passed out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the place that has the vending machines. Mm-hmm. You know, we were watching drug deals. We were eating lunch. I was like, whoa. Yeah. Literally, it was like an episode of The Walking Dead. It was sad. All right. So anyway, 5:30 Monday tonight, if you want to go to Flagstaff first monthly meeting and hear about from the city sustainability director the great things coming up when it comes to sustainability. Mm-hmm. All right. If you get a rock chip in your windshield, remember to call Diamond Auto Glass first. They'll take care of you just like they've taken care of my family's windshields for years. And you think, hey, how often does this happen, Jeff? It happens a lot to us. We got a couple of chips right now. We need to go in to see Stuart and his team over at Diamond Auto Glass. Do a great job of fixing that so it doesn't spread to your entire windshield. If you've gotten windshield replacement with Diamond Auto Glass before, that's included, free of charge, no appointment necessary. Just zip on in. Right there on 4th Street in Flagstaff takes 10 to 15 minutes. Remember to always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140. Or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Don't forget, we've got our giveaway going on. I hope you'll get involved with this. I got a $50 cash debit card courtesy of Gettles High Desert Mechanical. We've also got Sportsman's Gift Card. Mm-hmm. So go check that out. TalkWithJeff.com, where I've revamped the website last week. Week before, video of every show is right up there along with the audio podcast, and you know, just really simple. And I've noticed a lot more people watching the videos and even listening to the podcast, so appreciate everyone that's doing that. Go there, talkwithjeff.com, and you'll see the giveaway tab that you can click on. All right, let's hit more on Governor Hobbs declaring a heat emergency. I mean, who would have thunk that in Arizona, you know, it gets hot?
Yeah,
I don't get this. So she issued the executive order on Friday, and it says that she's going to, quote, use every resource at her disposal to keep people safe from heat.
And how, what is she going to do?
I don't know.
I mean, what resources are available?
I don't know. I mean, they already send me a warning and tell all the mainstream media every 3 minutes to repeat this, drink lots of water, drink lots of water.
There's plenty of water to drink. There's a pool in every other yard. There's sprinklers. I mean, what else are you going to do? Almost every house, you would think almost everyone should have an AC or some kind of cooler in it.
Are there people that still live in Phoenix? I'm sure there's someone there's without probably AC. There's like without. Diehards, right? You grew up in Tucson. Yeah. Did you have AC when you were a kid?
No. But we had an evaporative cooler.
Evaporative cooler. Those things are crap.
Well, like a big one, you know, that's made for a house.
When it's 115 yeah. degrees or 10 degrees, or it didn't get that hot when you were a kid because it was, this is just new.
No, it got that hot.
Oh, it did. Okay. I get confused. Well, you know, Governor Hobbs, she's a lifelong Arizonan. She even gave herself some kind of special award when she first got elected as being the first woman native-born Arizonan or something. Remember that?
Yeah.
She has like a trophy box and that thing's sitting
there.
Born
and raised in Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. She like went online and had some... That was like the first... there's probably an executive order on, you must make me a trophy because I was elected. I'm the first native-born woman in Arizona. But you'd think she would know that then. How old is she? 40s, 50s? I don't, she looks like she's in her 40s or 50s, right? And she's lived here a similar amount of time as you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're 39, but... Yeah. You know, it's so she thinks she would know. I mean, that it gets hot in Arizona in July.
Yeah. It just is. You're either inside where it's cooler.
Yes. Like it's like so cold. You got to wear a sweatshirt because
you're outside in the sprinkler in the pool. We didn't have a pool, but we knew people that did. And
yeah.
Or, you know, we did have the sprinkler in the backyard. And
well, I mean, the thing is, though, if you live in certain neighborhoods, you have tree inequity. Did you hear about this one? You know, where there's certain areas that don't have the shade trees. They actually call it tree. So that's one of their plans, is they're going to plant more trees.
It's the desert, people. Yeah, sometimes there's just not very big trees because they don't have the water.
And at the same time, you say, hey, we got to conserve water. And it's like, let's plant more trees and add misters and everywhere.
Need more water.
Yeah, they should just do big misters. Oh, yeah, anyway. Okay, so the declaration is for three Arizona counties, as I explained earlier, including Maricopa County, Pinal County, and Coconino, supposedly because each county, some part of it declared a heat emergency or heat whatever, whatever terminology they're using, government land, back in July. In the case of Coconino County, it was the Navajo Nation that declared their own heat emergency. They do this stuff to get money. Mm-hmm. All these government agencies, because then they can tap into all kinds of federal resources and this and that. So there you go. So heat emergency.
That's all it's about. I'm serious. I mean, they do want to help people and stuff. I just don't see what they're going to be able to do, even with the money. What are you going to do?
Well, they're talking about, let me read some more of this from, this is actually from the executive emergency or whatever, heat emergency that she did. Coconino County, and in Coconino County, the chairwoman, Patrice Horseman, she joined in on this. She was actually referenced and mentioned in the executive order. So you got to join in on the fun because now, well, I guess I'm talking about her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But sometimes it's not always flattering when I talk about versus the, the corporate media. It's usually always flattering unless you're a conservative. Anyway, Coconino County is a popular summer recreation destination in Arizona where residents from central and southern Arizona go to escape the heat, said Coconino County Chair Patrice Horseman. However, we got to get the tone right. But, however, even in northern Arizona, the summer heat is lethal. It's lethal. I'm sure somebody died. No, that sucks.
The place that had the heat emergency in Coconino County, I'm sorry, that's not the place she's talking about with the tourist destination.
Yeah, that may be. That may be. And the tourists getting in and out of their cars, their AC cars, yeah, things like that. Okay, you make a good point. Temperature at the base of the Grand Canyon. The base of the Grand Canyon. So that would
that
be
means the, at the, bottom.
The bottom. So basically,
you've chosen to walk down there.
Yeah. So temperatures at the base of the Grand Canyon, basically Phoenix elevation, mm-hmm. right? Hot. A popular tourist destination. Really? Yeah, but you know, all those people come in and they're with their flip-flops and their Disney caps.
Yeah.
I mean, they just saunter down there real quick. You think she's ever been down there? I don't know. Maybe she has. You know, you've been down there a couple times.
You have
been
to
down
choose
there.
And work yeah. really hard to get to the bottom. I mean, unless you take a raft trip from Lee's Ferry, maybe. But then you're on the water.
In the 48 degree
anyway.
Water, you fall in and you're worried about freezing to death in the middle of the summer. Okay, soared at the base of Grand Canyon, soared above 115 degrees, contributing to multiple heat-related hiker deaths and injuries in July. Let me stop you right there, Chairwoman Patrice Horseman. People have been dying in the Grand Canyon for a long time.
From heat-related.
Go buy the book, Death in the Canyon. Yeah. There's a whole book about all the deaths in the Grand Canyon.
I read it. It goes over all the different types of deaths, and there's like chapters based on, you know, heat or suicide or accidental or whatever.
My gosh.
Whole chapter devoted to heat-related death.
Yes. This is nothing new. And you would need to get the revised edition because every year people are dying in the Grand Canyon.
And most of those are not people that are just, I'm going to go wander down there and just see what I'm doing.
Let me just go take a quick walk.
These are experienced people, but they might get off trail or run out of water.
Exactly. Yeah. Look, in high school, two times, my dad and I and one of my high school friends hiked the Grand Canyon in June. Wow. Huge mistake. And we were so stupid. We did it a second time the following summer. I mean, we were dying on the way up. Yeah. It is dangerous to hike it when it's 100 plus degrees. I can tell you, I've done that. I'll never do it again, although I did West Clear Creek at 110. But we got down there. We knew we were getting down to water within 2 hours, unless we fell and broke our leg and had a situation like that. It's hot. It's always been hot. People test themselves. They push themselves. They know it's hot. Sometimes people run out of water. What I opened with this today, sometimes things just line up wrong.
Yeah, just wrong place, wrong time.
Blank happens, right? Yeah. And it's just unfortunate. Anyway, so that's Horseman, you know? And then in our recreation-based county, record-breaking heat impacted visitors and taxed our first responders. It also took a toll on our unsheltered population. I applaud Governor Hobbs for recognizing this crisis and declaring a heat emergency in Arizona, which brings attention and resources toward protecting our residents and visitors. Please, for the love of God, stop trying to protect me.
Yeah.
my head is drowning from you holding your foot on me, trying to protect me. I'm so sick of it. Mm-hmm. You know, stop, because who knows what they're going to come up with. This. So anyway, more of this. Arizonans deserve action, Hobbs said in a statement. I'll use every resource at my disposal to help keep Arizona safe as we recover from this unprecedented heat wave and prepare for future events to ensure our state has the tools to continue thriving and growing. What recovery?
What is she gonna do?
Well, okay, but first of all, they're still recovering. It's cooled down 2 weeks ago. There's a cooling
it's
trend coming.
95 in Phoenix area this weekend.
Oh, let's get the media saying, "Oh my, so cool! This is so cool! This must be climate change. It's so cool. Day five of cool weather." It's just like, where's the flipping out over how cool it is now? How below average it is? Can we play this on the other side now? But who's recovering from this still? Are you still dehydrated? If you're dead, I'm sorry you're dead. You're still dead. There's no recovery. I'm not trying to make light of it. It's just these politicians, they try to throw an answer at everything that's unanswerable. There's no solution to this. There's no fighting the heat. Here comes. The declaration makes up to $200,000 available for politicians. That's my wording. For politicians to throw around and act like they're solving a problem that's unsolvable. That's not in her release. Okay. I added that as part of it. That's a good one though, right? I mean, yeah. That's how that should have been thrown in there. This is from the Republic. They didn't write that. They would never write that. The increasing number of people who fall ill or die because of heat each year. That's why she had to do the executive order. The order directs the governor's office of resiliency to work across agencies to determine best practices for dealing with heat going forward and create a extreme heat preparedness plan. So they're working. They're in a cubicle somewhere, folks. They're making
they got a plan.
Extreme heat preparedness plan. They got to get this ready by March of 2024. So they got their task, their job.
That 30 day thing, and you know, with 110 in a row, will probably never happen again.
It's like the
other plans will be for
it's
nothing.
All the snow we got last year. That I'm sure the city of Flag and Cooking, they're all preparing for the snowmageddon again. It'll be 5 years. Oh, it's not snowing anymore. It must be climate change. Although when we got all the snow,
we got
what
160
was that?
Plus inches last year, last season. And yeah, they're probably getting ready for that again.
Yeah.
This season we'll get 50.
Look, if you've been here for more than 2 years, just send me an email. I'll tell you what weather's coming or maybe not coming. This is predictable. It dries out. Sometimes it's really wet. Sometimes it's really hot. Sometimes it's really cold. Get over it. It's the weather. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So extreme heat preparedness plan coming by March of 2024. Whew. And administer $13.3 million in Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act funds to prevent power outages across the state.
Well, I feel better now. I mean, I feel like everything's going to be okay now because she's got a plan.
Yeah, I do feel better now. Here's the solution.
What a relief.
I want to give you the solution. Get through the heat. You deal with it. Stay hydrated.
Stay inside. Go to the pool.
And now it's cooling down again. As predicted on this show, I told you, August starts cooling down. I got my hoodie on today. And parts of Arizona just get hot. Get over it.
Yeah.
Deal with it. We don't need the government to do anything. There's nothing to do.
Yeah.
Nothing to fix here. Love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. You just think you're going to get through a day where these control freak just weirdos go away and they stop coming up with stupid things to do and spend our money. But it just keeps coming. It never ends. Yeah. All right. It's brought to you by Desert Gold Exchange. That's why I buy a little bit of physical gold and silver whenever I can. That's just what my family's done. I can't tell you what to do, but hey, I would educate yourself on real money. Talk to Justin and his team at Desert Gold Exchange. Here's a good thing about them. They keep their overhead low. They pass those savings on to you. Put them to the test. I think you're going to find that their fees and commissions, because it costs the same for gold and silver around the world. It's those fees and commissions. They keep those low. They pass the savings on to you. Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. Let's talk about something good when we come back.
Okay.
It's always good.
Yeah.
Heat emergency. All right, welcome back. I got a song for you. Well, at least if you're listening on FM, because I can't play this on a podcast. And let me get to this in just a second, because it's actually, I'm optimistic about how people are standing up, how Americans are standing up. It's promising. Conservatives continue to speak up, mainly with their wallet, and saying, hey, I'm not going to support this product or the other product. It's what the left always used to do.
Yeah,
and still do. Yeah. They try to cancel.
They would try to boycott stuff.
They still try to cancel things, but it's not. They've lost their zing and their effectiveness. So eventually, probably lose their zing on the conservative side too, because these things often follow that same path. Let me get to that in just a second, though. But if you need a new to you smartphone, go to my friends at Just Wireless in Flagstaff. Great refurbished phones, which is something real you can do for the environment, not this wave a magic wand from government and say, we're going to fix this and that, and climate change this and the other thing. There are real things we can do, which is don't throw out your smartphone.
Right, go reuse get a fix, them, get a new battery,
get a refurbished one. Yeah, Just Wireless, they can do all of that for you. Two locations in Flagstaff, although the one location across from Flagstaff Mall, they are closing that. So there's great sales, great discounts going on there right now.
Go check it out.
Go check it out.
I'm sure you can find something.
Yeah, and then they're consolidating all down to their west side location right there on Milton Avenue. So get a new-to-you smartphone, accessories, all kinds of great stuff at Just Wireless. Okay, so You remember what happened with Bud Light after their foray into the transgender craze? And it is right. a craze that's going on. This is insanity. Anyway, support, and then Jason Aldean, he came out the song,
Try That in a Small Town.
And he did the video several months later, came out a couple weeks ago, and it had a bunch of BLM peaceful protests where they were burning, rioting, looting. Yeah, the footage, yeah. Uh-huh. Real footage from the corporate media. The left went mad and wanted to cancel Jason Aldean. His song shot up to number one, and it was number one until this weekend. And then this weekend, somebody that nobody has ever heard of, his name is Oliver Anthony. He's got the guy with two first names, Oliver Anthony. And he's just like doing songs on YouTube, basically. Mm-hmm. He's just like putting them out
just
there.
Just for fun because he likes it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he puts this stuff out there, and he likes doing it, and he wanted to make a difference. And he has quite a few songs out there, and, you know, they each got a couple thousand hits. But he came out with a song called Rich Men North of Richmond. And I have to bleep a few spots here. He's like a farmer. He had a factory job for a while. He had some trouble, you know, and he's just like, he's saying words that a lot of Americans, I think, can relate to. Of course, the left is saying, oh, he stinks. And this is, you know, this is just kooky right wing Reagan-esque talk, this and that. They're so disconnected with the rest of America.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They don't understand at all what's going on. Anyway, this guy's song, and I encourage you to look this up. I bought it today on iTunes. It went up to number one. Richmond, North of Richmond on iTunes, top songs. Yeah, I mean, imagine that.
Crazy.
This guy's just like playing at like the local farmer's market. He had a show this weekend at the
like
farmer's
his
market.
Banjo and
yeah, just, it's just, he's like puts a mic out and sings. And
you can hear the bugs in the background.
Yep. So check it out. Richmond, North of Richmond. Here it is.
I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away, drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is living in the new world with an whole soul. Richmond, North of Richmond, Lord knows it all. Just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do. And they don't think you know, but I know that you do. Cause your dollar ain't shit, and it's taxed to no end. Cause a rich man, North of Richmond. Politicians look out for miners, and not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the whole beast milking welfare. Well, God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, cause all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down.
All right, that's it for this hour. That's Oliver Anthony's number one song now.
I think people Richmond, like North it, maybe. It's just, it sounds really, like, authentic to me. Like, he really means it. It's not, it's not
that's
just
what
up
it is.
There, you know, singing some thing. And
he's
he
top
it.
Three top songs now. He's right above Taylor Swift. This guy from the middle
imagine
of
nowhere. Imagine that.
Stick around. I got a lot more to come. Don't go anywhere. Back in just a few.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
Welcome back. Hour two of the show. Jeff Horovitz here. Angela's sticking around for a little bit longer. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I don't think you'll make it all the way through, though.
No, I got mom duties.
Mom's. I did dad duty this morning. I took him to school. It's like 45 minutes.
The traffic in the morning is awful.
Yeah. Hey.
It's like you go like 5 miles. It takes 35 minutes.
And this isn't a small town or small city, I guess we should call it at this point. But let me start off with defying logic and common sense here. And no matter where you live, you probably have experienced this with very poor, I'm just going to use a special word there, very poor planning by the central planners. Who decides to do construction work in front of schools when school opens?
I know, you have all summer, and some genius is like, let's start a road construction right in front of the school the week before school starts.
What is that? I mean, at one place where there's convergence of three schools in Flagstaff, you know, right where we take our kids to Flagstaff Christian. Then there's like a public middle
Puente,
school, and then there's
Mems,
Puente and
Pine Forest,
and there's a charter. There's four schools. Like the day before the school starts, they block it all off. Like one of the few ways you can get in there, we're gonna put a roundabout. Whose idea?
If you're all listening, summer.
Oh my gosh,
why didn't they do it over the summer?
Let me help you out here. If you have an area like that and you're a government central planner, okay, I'm not trying to back. Look, the streets guys. I consider this pretty essential to keep our streets paved, right? And our roads functional.
Yeah.
No.
It's not essential to put a roundabout in.
No, I'm right getting there. Let me finish. Starts. No, I just want to lay this out, okay. Because I was complaining a lot over the winter about the interstates that had car-sized potholes.
I mean, they fixed some of that, but there's a lot still not done.
Let me remind you folks, especially if ADOT's controlling this, winter's coming. I mean, yeah, you might not think so because
I'm thinking they're not going to get it done now.
No, they started off really fast. And here we are, middle of August. And I know that Governor Hobbs, who has gotten special awards for being the first, you know, native born Arizona woman in office. And she knows so much about the heat in Arizona that she declared that heat executive emergency or whatever, last Friday. She did it on a Friday to try to bury this thing. She's going to fix heat now, like Biden. Biden came to Arizona. And he said she's going to fix heat. He's going to war with heat. He's just like, the separate, no negotiating.
Yeah.
We take no prisoners. We're going straight up war.
Debate.
We're going to war with heat. So anyway, these guys are actually in a battle with heat. But let me tell you what's about to happen. September's coming. And before you know it, things are going to start freezing. Can happen anytime. I've seen it snow pretty early in northern Arizona. So you better finish the roads. But anyway, I appreciate the guys that are out there working on it, they're doing a hard job. I think it's the central planners that flub this stuff up constantly. So you don't build a roundabout when school starts in front of the schools. You do that like the day school gets out.
Yeah.
You're breaking ground.
Yeah.
And so I noticed they pulled back.
It's just the planning is poor.
Yeah,
that's all
planning.
It is. It's not the workers' fault. It's not their fault.
I just want to be clear.
It's just the
there.
Planning is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did see they pulled down the barricades. So they must have gotten flack. Because it's like,
well, they're still doing it. I think they're just, I don't know if they put it on hold or if they just are stopping temporarily.
I have a love-hate relationship with these roundabouts. I mostly hate them. Mm-hmm. There are some occasions where they actually work. And Mark Howitt's a good, big fan of roundabouts. Mm-hmm. But the disaster there on 260 going from Camp Verde to Cottonwood, and there's like roundabouts to nowhere.
Go nowhere.
It's like, what? Who thought of this? And you're all of a sudden, and everybody's gunning it. You know, after they get out there.
Yeah. If it's needed and it's smart, then okay, fine. But why put it in when there is nothing? There is nothing they're going.
Makes
these
no sense.
Exits lead nowhere. They're literally blocked off.
Yeah. Just look, don't build roundabouts in front of a school during school. It's just a bad idea. I mean, you want the moms to lose it. And so
there's another spot in town with construction going on right by the school too, that we live nearby, and that's causing a mess too.
Oh yeah, there's another one. It's like, let's just rip up
it's
the
It's not
roads.
A roundabout, but it's just one part of the road is completely closed at all times.
Roundabouts. Anyway, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud, more of a personal issue there. Just 40 minutes.
It's just that stuff should be done and
you got to figure out how to
not in school time.
I say, I said it's all essential, but privatize most of the roads.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Enjoying the cooler weather. I have, if you're watching a video, and please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Look up Orbitz. We're trying to video everything we do. So you sit there and stare at us, and I'm wearing my hoodie today, I'm thinking about going to Southern California and joining in one of those flash mobs. I just got to get
I just gotta get my mask on.
And we can then go join the flash mobs like they did in L.A. And yeah. They just went in and stole like $100,000 from Nordstrom's. Just gone. Mm. Life in America nowadays, yeah. Right? It's cooler.
It is cool today.
So I don't feel like, you know, we need that climate emergency or whatever they're saying.
Because we don't.
So now the experts. So I, my heart goes out to the folks in Maui.
Yeah, that's a shame. It's too bad. It's just
loss of life. Beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's
and rebuilding is incredibly difficult there because they don't have the kind of supplies. You know, everything's got to be imported, and
it's expensive,
and it's so much more because of that, and limited for how much, and especially with that much destruction.
Yeah.
If everyone's trying to rebuild, it's just, can you imagine the backlog? And
it's going to be a huge project. But before the fire was even out, I mean, this thing was right. It's climate change.
They decided everything's that. Climate change. Yeah, day one.
Yeah. So the experts that brought us the COVID hysterics and now the war on heat, they already know the cause of the Maui fires, which is climate change.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only, or they're global warming. They're kind of still using that term, although they use climate change more than ever before. So they got the finger pointing going on. And, you know, this just happened. It's dry. Look, I don't know if you've ever been to Hawaii, but Hawaii, especially Maui and the Big Island, got the big mountain range in the middle. And then there's one side of the island where it's like 200-300 inches of rain.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wet. All the moisture gets sucked up. And literally you drive. I haven't been to Maui, but I've heard Maui's similar to the Big Island.
Yeah, which
you drive around like you in on the Big Island. You stay in Kona because it's always sunny. There's cactus.
Yeah, it's dry there.
It's super dry. They don't get a lot of rain.
And that is the west side.
The west side?
Okay. Yeah.
So hurricane passed, you know, 800 miles out to sea. They got 80-mile-per-hour winds. Something got fanned up, and it hit. And
it's dry.
It was a disaster. Yeah. There's finger-pointing at the electric companies for leaving the power. There's already lawsuits, by the way.
Uh-huh.
There's already, like, class-action lawsuits
started.
Going
to be first in line. Get in line.
Before the relief. Food and supplies gets like helicoptered in. The lawyers, they came, they repelled.
Yeah.
They repelled on in there.
Oh, they can smell that. Look, I mean, seriously.
It's not climate change. This has been happening for a long time. Mm-hmm. There's been fires. There's been unfortunate fires. They said, oh, this is the biggest wildfire as far as death. And it's a lot of deaths. I'm not minimalizing. Don't get me wrong. I just want to put perspective on things because I said this last hour. Everybody just like, oh, I'm living in history now and nothing else really existed before, and I'm going through something that nobody else has ever gone through. It's just not true. So they were saying things like most deaths in modern history. I'm like, well, what's modern history? Whatever they say, yeah. And it's like, okay, 1918 was the biggest wildfire death. 453 people were killed in Minnesota and Wisconsin by the Cloquet and Moose Lake fires.
Oh.
It's from MSN.
Wow.
That's 1918. So what was it then? I mean, was it climate change then?
No.
I mean, come on.
You can't.
No, they never talk about it then. And, you know, this is, so my point in bringing this up is it's happened before. It's going to happen again.
Yeah.
And I just wish these politicians would stop trying and these environuts trying to finger this as this is why. Mm-hmm. This is why we need, because you see the signs you drive around, we need climate action now.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What is that? And you, I see them all over Flagstaff. You printed that on a plastic sign, you moron.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You printed, we need climate action now on a plastic sign.
Yeah.
I'm speechless.
How many of them have been displaced and they're now lying in the dirt
in the
somewhere.
Forest somewhere, right? What? It's unbelievable. So anyway, they're criticizing the so-called warning systems in Hawaii. Hawaii lawmakers are responding to rising worry over what prevented alarm systems from alerting people in, how do you pronounce this, Lahaina? L-A-H-A-N.
Yeah, I think it's Lahaina.
Lahaina, okay.
I think.
Sorry, the Hawaiian names are some of the hardest. I couldn't live there just simply because I live down La Hukahuka Boulevard. And I'm like,
you don't see Main Street or
First
Street.
Which is fine.
Or
that's fine.
Every street thing, is like a Hawaiian name, and I'm not kidding. Every single one.
That's tough.
Yeah.
sadly, tragically, in this situation, those sirens likely did not go off, said U.S. Representative Jill Takuda, a Hawaii Democrat. They're all Democrats in Hawaii.
Yeah.
They're all Democrats. Said Sunday on CBS has faced the nation. So you got to get on the national press. Got to get. There's been a. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. So she.
Well, they want the relief, the aid, the money.
They're there for you, people. Yeah. Quote, the warning signals that were on cell phones. We had no cell coverage or electricity in some of these areas. It's a disaster movie. Okay, so this might have been like on Walking Dead, you know? Everything's gone. Zombies are walking around, which is weird because they haven't eaten in like months.
Yeah, or years. I don't get that.
Sometimes years, and you're like, okay, this is getting a little ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, picture your typical disaster movie. And a lot of them, what you hear on the radio is, had this been an emergency, you would have heard an alert and instructions afterwards. And it's like, that's after the bombs went off and you're still waiting for the warnings. I think we've made things more and more increasingly complex, and the systems are more apt to fail. The more complex you make something, more likelihood something critical is going to fail here. We've also become over-reliant on the technology that, oh, I didn't get a warning, so I don't take
basic
precautions. I'm not in danger. I got a warning the other day on my phone in Camp Verde about imminent risk of life because of a flood that's coming. It was sunny, and I know sometimes up. There's no clouds up on the rim either. Yeah. There was nothing. It was wrong. And it's wrong. Those stupid ADOT overhead signs that are always wrong. You should tear them down. Waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
Total waste of money. We've become more and more reliant on these things. And then when you need them, are they there or do they overuse them? Snow warnings in the winter.
Yeah.
Remember when before we had the climate change induced heat wave that the governor of Arizona had to declare the emergency over or whatever.
Mm.
You know, remember we had that big winter.
Yeah.
That was, let me remind you, we were never going to get snow in Arizona again.
Yeah.
I had people tell me that. I did. I'm not making this up. People told me, you better enjoy it. It's not going to snow soon. I'm like, really? And then, snowball, they're not going to be able to have the snow to keep the, even with snowmaking, it'll be so warm that they won't be able to run the machines. What, they closed like 3 weeks ago?
Five weeks ago? We still get snow every winter.
Yes.
Last winter was exceptionally high. But average is still about the same.
It's still about 100 inches of snow a year. I mean, get over it.
It was five years ago, 10,
it might
50.
Not snow this winter coming up because this is either Olivia or Owen said something like, I think it was Owen. He said, I think we had a weak monsoon so far because it just snowed so much. It like got it out of its system.
Yeah.
It's probably as logical as any expert, quote-unquote, out there.
Yeah.
But anyway, we have an increased reliance on really complex systems. We've increased our reliance on the so-called authorities to warn us.
Mm-hmm.
And when the authorities don't warn us properly, which you shouldn't expect them to, you just shouldn't. You shouldn't be reliant on them to warn you. Look, if you inspect a dam and you realize it's cracking as a quote-unquote authority, okay, I would like to be warned about that. But warning me about the weather... They can't even predict the weather very good anymore.
Right.
So we shouldn't be relying on that. And then I talked about this last time. It's the increased idea in America that there's this expert class that can protect you from things. And when things go wrong, what do people do? Well, we need to put more safeguards in. We need to have a war on heat. We need to do this. We need to do that. And you give them, you cede more and more authority to these unelected bureaucrats, mostly these agencies that then come and laud over you and tell you what to do. It was like that song we were playing last hour, by Oliver Anthony.
Yeah. Right.
Number one song right now. This is, he's a good old boy redneck. This is what he looks like to me. He's playing at farmer's markets. He records in a field. You can hear the cicadas and crickets going. It's perfect. People are saying, oh, you got to get this polished and record. No. Keep recording in a field,
like,
man.
It that way.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying before, is it's authentic. It's like real.
Yes.
And, you know.
I mean, that's what people want nowadays. But look, where was I going? Oh, he was saying, you know, they come, basically it's a song about, oh, the more authority over, I can't remember the exact words, but, you know, they're ruling over your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rich men of Richmond, these politicians that get in there. That make their servants to the people, but yet they all become multimillionaires, a lot of them. You know, they're gaming off the system. They're telling us all what to do. So anyway, why would you rely on them to tell you, oh, there's a flood coming. There's this coming.
Yeah.
There's that coming. We never did that before. We don't need to do that. Don't rely on these systems. for every little thing.
Yeah.
And it, but what's going to happen is, here's what's, that's the world I want to live in, right? But here's what's going to happen. They're going to put in more systems on top of the other systems that didn't work.
Yeah.
And say,
yeah,
oh, we got to improve this. So let's create a new department, a new commission, a new this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It's going to cost this much. And then when it, you know, it hits the fan again, it breaks down.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Yeah. So well, don't rely
and
on
something
them.
Like that that happened in Maui or anywhere in Hawaii, like that, that may never happen again.
No, yeah.
I mean, you're it's not that you can't, don't want to be prepared for the what if scenario, but
yeah.
I mean, that, do they really need to put in place all kinds of new stuff and for like what if this
for the eventuality
again, that it probably never would? Because the likelihood of that happening again is so small.
And it's tragic. But like I said earlier and Friday, sometimes things just line up in a very bad way.
Yeah.
And you
it's
could,
just
you
the wind, the dry, the
you couldn't make
fire.
It line up again. Yeah. You know, if you tried it a million times or the same scenario happened.
Exactly.
Just some kind of perfect, in a bad way, thing happened because everything just came together. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Go ahead and get those email comments in. We'll read those as the week progresses. Maybe even today. We'll see what we can do. Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona has a great system to keep your gutters clear of all the debris. I highly encourage you to call them right now because they get really busy coming into the fall, especially as those pine needles and other leaves and debris start dropping. Gutter's got a lifetime warranty, over 40 years of experience. If you don't want to clean those gutters anymore, you don't want to go up on that roof and deal with all that stuff, call Gutter Helmet. Carl the Gutter Helmet, his name's Carl. He's been on the show before. He does a great job. You're laughing at me, Angela. I got sidetracked. Call Carl the Gutter Helmet Man or text him right now. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. Normally you get 30% off. He's throwing in another 5% for you. This is the time to call him or text him. 35% off. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. 928-318-6555. Or go to gutterhelmetnaz.com.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Now, here's why. Most insurance companies, they use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try to route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop on by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading, and it'll save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass before, as I have, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on in. Most chip repairs take 10 to 15 minutes. Remember, always call Diamond Auto Glass first, 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
I had a song stuck in my head, Olivia.
Blame me for not doing work or whatever when you were showing me the song.
Get to work, pull some emails. I like raw music like that and the emotion, and I think that guy, I keep forgetting his name, Oliver Anthony. See, it's the same first name.
I heard the name
or two first names or whatever.
There's nothing difficult.
He's talking
about
John Rich, his country star, and he's talking about. I know this, like, we can get this recorded. It doesn't need. Some things don't need to be polished. You know, it's just like, you can.
Like, that's the charm.
Yeah, that is the charm. We'd love your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Sorry, we're continuing a conversation from the break.
You know, isn't that the greatest? And there's just
talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. We'll get to some of these comments here in just a few minutes. I want to remind you that it's August, which means it's pet month at Zero Res Northern Arizona, which means 20% off pet related services with promo code
pet clean.
No,
August.
No. You didn't know about this one? You never heard this
Olivia?
One? Puppy love.
Darn.
Puppy love. So you go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. One more time, ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. You type in puppy love. You get 20% off pet-related services. Most of the time, they can go in there and take care of odors and all that. Sometimes it takes a little bit more. Talk to the good folks at Zero Res Northern Arizona. They'll let you know, hey, we can get this out really easy. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes you've got a critter that's been doing some things for a long time, like in the corner. No bueno. Then it had to take a little extra effort. But yeah, you look, use Zero Res. I've had such a great response of how they're able to come in and use their awesome system to remove those odors. Type in Puppy Love as the promo code, and they've got a lot of other specials as well, including fabric cleaning, your floor, the tile floors, your vehicles, things like that. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com or call them at 928-378-8888, 928-378-8888. You may have not listened to the show on Friday, so I just want to wrap back to one thing that Angela and I talked about, and we did kind of an abbreviated show on Friday because we finished picking the rest of our corn. It's kind of sad because, you know, it just grows and it's all green and lush and then it turns brown and you pick it all.
I know, you were very upset about the life cycle of the corn.
It's like, can I get two growings a year?
We've had
a lot of corn. We've got corn in the freezer. We've got corn here and there, corn everywhere.
And he's sad we don't have more. And yeah. I'm like, I think we have enough.
I know, but I was just like, I lost quite a few hundred ears to different rodents and creatures. So next year I'm going to try even better. Learned a lot. We'll spend another show on that though. But on Friday we talked about USAID to Ukraine, and there was a report that came out, an economist that says it's costing you, your family, $900 per American household so far. And Biden came out last week. He wants more money sent to Ukraine. He wants to beef up the disaster relief fund, right? By like $20 billion. So, well, not the whole thing, but he's asking for $20 billion, right? $7 billion for you Americans out there. $7 billion for disaster relief, like Maui and the fires at Maui, right? Things like that. When Americans truly have a need, $7 billion, you get $7 billion, Ukraine gets $13 billion. Isn't that special?
Wow, that's...
Yeah. So... It's like, how do you even?
Great. It's like, don't put your own people first.
I know this is insanity. That's why that song and songs that are coming out and people that are speaking up are going to the top, because people are fed up and the left doesn't understand it. The enviro nuts doesn't understand it. The control freaks don't understand it. We're sick of it. We're sick of sending all this money. What is it? $100 billion, I think.
I'm surprised
$113 billion
isn't literally like overflowing with money, like literally, like how do they store all that money?
A good point. I think we had this discussion about Guam.
Oh, yeah.
Ukraine
might tip over.
You send this much money to Ukraine, it's bigger than Guam. But still, you're talking all that money, all those dollar bills. Whew. Ukraine could actually sink. I'm concerned about this.
It really could.
I mean,
what are they doing? Are they like building tanks out of dollar bills?
Well, what they're doing, we're sending tanks and other things to disassemble that, and they're building big like vaults and bunkers for all the money we're sending.
Out of money?
Yeah. They have so much money. They're actually building that to protect it. Can you imagine all of the arms, weapons systems that we're sending over there and the cash? Can you imagine how much of this is going to wind up in third world conflicts down the road from now?
Well, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Could you imagine all the guns and stuff they're going to swamp Africa and the black market down there to fuel conflicts? Because that's what's going to happen with all this stuff. You know, the president and the left and the control freaks and the elite, they must think we're a bunch of suckers and losers out there to believe almost anything. But you know what? Maybe there's a big percentage of Americans that believe anything they say and just swallow this stuff day after day. I'm not one of them. I don't think you are as well. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff. $900. What could you do at $900? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
I think you got some comments there, Olivia. We'll get to those. I got the old Skittles on the screen. I don't mind a good...
obviously, the more pressing news. I don't know what it is, but it involves Skittles, so...
Earth-shattering, yeah. I've always liked a good Skittle. Like around... Is it Skittles or Skittle?
Skittles. Skittles?
Skittles around Halloween.
I mean,
or
unless
something.
You eat one Skittle.
Okay, well, they're in like a little mini controversy right now over the transgender thing.
Of course.
And this one's over their whole, like, I guess, transgender section on their website. But I mean, it's weird because, and those of you watching the video here, you can get that by going to YouTube. By the way, look up Orvitz. What is this? I want to experience the rainbow. And, you know, the Skittles always had the rainbow, but now it's like they're loaning out their rainbow for the rainbow, if you know what I mean.
Well, it's just because it's the colors of the rainbow.
Well, yeah. Of course, they have different. But you have to enter your age to even get in here.
I know. Not to be choosy, but first we need to know your birthday to make sure you can handle this much fun.
Yeah.
And I was saying, like, I don't know if they're aware of this, but you can enter any number you want right there.
Well, maybe it's just, okay, I entered, so, I entered my, that my
like illegal
2023. We're sorry, our marketing code states that you're not authorized to access the content you requested.
Oh my goodness.
Unfortunately, you cannot view the additional content in this section of the website.
Oh, what are they putting up there? That's like,
I can't even get in.
Inappropriate for certain ages.
I can't even get in the Skittles. Okay,
wow,
let's go back there. Let's try this again. So now I'm going to enter in my
103 years old
birth date. Well, I'm not quite that old, but close. Well, let me in. No, didn't really check anything, like ask for verification that I'm actually.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You can enter any date you want. So it must just be something that they have to do.
Here's the controversy. They have a whole Skittles Pride section there. So you click on Skittles Pride, and they have the whole, there's a story in every rainbow. You know, the typical woke LGBT plus WXYZ stuff. And there's one here, Skittles package for the transgender kids and, you know, all that good stuff. So if you're into that, hey, get a Skittles, I guess. People are calling for a boycott on Skittles similar to Bud Light. You know, Bud Light did the Dylan Mulvaney transgender can. And since then, Bud Light has gone from number one to like nothing. Like nobody wants a Bud Light anymore. Nobody.
I mean, I'd be like fine with not eating Skittles again because, like, I mean, they're not M&Ms, but like the outer shell, I'm pretty sure that that's made of bugs and that freaks me out. So, and I know that's a fact for M&Ms.
This is not a fact.
It has like a bug level in it, and so Skittles are like the same thing.
This is totally,
but with different
fake
fillings.
News. No facts here.
Okay, well maybe I'm scaring people away from Skittles. I'm doing a good thing. Don't eat Skittles because, well. They're woke bugs. And they're also filled with bugs.
Woke bugs. They've got woke bugs in there. There is a certain amount of bug parts
that they allow.
And it's the government.
Maximum amount for M&Ms. I don't know how much that is, but if I hear maximum bugs allowed and I look how tiny a M&M is and I'm like, oh, there could be
like
three flies
this up,
smashed
like
in this.
Actual?
No, I just have mom as my source.
Really? She's
Yeah, she told me that years ago.
Okay, we
and
need
I
to
have
verify
not
this.
Eaten M&Ms
Which
or Skittles
candy
since.
Has
So
the
I'm
most
sorry if I just ruined
bugs.
Things for you guys, but
Which candy lovers beware the hard shiny shells on Junior Mints?
Wait, no, don't say that.
Red Hots, Lemonheads, and Boston Baked Beans candies are glazed with secretions from lac bugs.
Okay, well, M&Ms is somewhere in that list, and Skittles probably is too.
Okay, here's a Washington Post talking about bugs. Well, there's bugs in your candy, no matter what. But the whole thing is, they got this whole woke section going on there with the LGBT stuff. You know, why can't I just eat a Skittle? Why can't I just go
can't
to
you
a store?
Eat your bug candy?
Why? If I want to eat my bug candy, could you just let me without getting involved in controversial stuff, Skittles?
I don't know why. It's food.
Yeah, it's, well,
I don't know why.
That's debatable, but.
Oh, yeah, good point.
It's something. It's got something in there that's sugary, sweet type of stuff. But, okay, people are calling for a boycott. That's not going to work.
No, I think we should just scare people away with their bugs.
Yeah, Olivia's got a different tactic.
All the health facts of Skittles that you don't want to know.
Here's why the Skittles boycott's not going to work. Bud Light worked because if you drink Bud Light, you're probably drinking a Bud Light every night, right? So there's a big impact there. If you're eating Skittles, you're probably not like eating Skittles every day, right?
You'd hope not, but that's like, oh, I'm walking by a vending machine and I'm hungry, which like, what? Well, of course, Skittles aren't going to be very filling, but also, out of all the candy, choosing Skittles, like, maybe if it was the last thing there, but I think I'd rather save my dollar.
Your dollar? Which vending machine is that? You are an anti-Skittle. That's all I got to say about you.
They're not that good.
Yeah. Well, I just, my list of things that I'm not buying continues to grow up. Hey, if you're thinking about selling your home right now, I want you to call Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. She's due back on the program here, I believe, later this week. We're going to keep a continuous update on what's going on in the real estate world because it's changing quick. Look, you want to sell your home, you need somebody on your side who has a team around her that knows what they're doing. You don't want your Uncle Bob just got his real estate license, or my friend, she sells one house a year. That's not going to cut it. Trust me. I was a realtor at one time. Did you know that? I had a real estate license to say I was actually, I didn't do any work for any, it was all kind of internal company stuff. Not, another story there, but I can tell you it's a very complicated thing to keep up with the processes, the paperwork, to keep up with what's going on. She was talking about staging homes just last week on the program, or a week or two ago, talking about drones and things like that. It's crazy what they'll do nowadays. She knows how to market stuff like nobody else. Why don't you call Kelly Broaddus? And she'll be able to help you out, buying or selling. 888-446-5602. 888-446-5602. And by the way, you want to get valuation of your home, instant valuation. You might be shocked. NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. Okay. Comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com.
Okay.
I'll stop talking.
Is from Greg.
Right now.
I will start talking. Shh. I've never understood why they put term limits on the presidency in the Constitution and not on senators. We've efficiently created a group of full-time rulers, which was what we were fighting to get away from. We absolutely need term limits, and we absolutely need age limits. That's what we've been saying.
Yeah, yeah.
These people would not have the time to become so corrupt if they weren't in there for their entire lives. They are becoming millionaires with selling influence, like you stated, as well as insider trading, and as we've seen with the Bidens, actually selling policy decisions, which I'm guessing is much more widespread throughout Washington. If they're legislating in their own financial interests, they're not legislating it for the good of the country or the people in it. And when half of them are senile, I don't think even they understand what the bills they are signing even do.
How do I vote? How do I vote?
What's voting?
What's voting? Who
bill?
Am I? Where am I?
Okay. Oh, I have a bill. Meant to pay that.
Look, the people around these people that are in the point where they do not have their mental faculties, they just don't. They have some responsibility. The voters have some responsibility. I mean, Senator Feinstein, was she 90 or something like that? I talked about this last week. She shouldn't be there. Now, look, you can be a very high-functioning 90-something-year-old. There are plenty. But there are also a lot of people that just don't have the faculties at that age, or 80, or even their 70s. I mean, it's sad to say, but this is what happens. This is what happens with age. And we should not have these people in these positions of power that just, they don't even know where they are at this point.
And it's, he brings up the point that it's not sad. Even just that they're old, it's that their entire life usually.
Oh, yeah.
Was in politics. I mean, no one goes into politics like just in their 70s.
Yeah.
It's like a whole life thing.
To get up to that point, you're right. Most of the time it takes, look at Biden. He's been in politics for 50 years. His whole life, his whole adult life has been about politics, and I'm sure he was prepping for that before that. What happened to service? What happened to servicing our country? Going in there, doing what's best, and then going away.
It's like, yeah, do our country a service by leaving, yeah. Please.
And I know this may sound cruel, but I always say the pilot, you know, you got the pilot. I want the best pilot who's able to fly the plane. That's why you got to be 60. I think they're upping it to 67 mandatory retirement on pilots, right? Okay. But not senators. You can be 90. If you're going through, and we've seen this far too many times, very old senators that are going through health issues. Sorry, you're going through health issues.
But maybe that's a sign.
Well, not only that, but if you're fighting for your life with health issues, go fight for your life. Go deal with that. The country's bigger than you. The country's bigger than you. Step back, and I hope you get better. If you get better, get back into it. I mean, it's like a long-term serious thing. I mean, when did we get to this point where this seat, it's my seat, it's my seat? It's really sickening, and I'm sick of it.
Like, I'm not at retirement age, obviously, but, like, no. I feel like I'd want to retire.
Well, fine.
You know, go
Do something?
Yeah.
Anything else? I mean, Biden wants to eat ice cream and hang at the beach.
Exactly. And it's he fine. Should be able to.
Yeah, I mean, go yeah, do that.
He probably wasted his whole life in woke politics, but still.
Yeah. I mean, take some of those gains that you've gotten and, you know, take some of the Hunter money. Buy an ice cream shop. You have to actually start a small business. Give ice cream, tell like, screwball stories.
This is what they were talking about.
Yeah. I mean, oh, here, come here. Let me give you some ice cream. What?
Scare the children away.
Thank you, Greg, for that. I don't know if we did your comment. Your comment was very well thought out. I don't know if our response was very well thought out, but I do appreciate that. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. Olivia, today is Navajo Code Talkers Day. Congressman Eli Crane sent me this, and then he has a press release on this. He'll be on the program next week.
Navajo Code Talkers Day commemorates the mission critical, exceptional contributions of the Code Talkers from Navajo Nation who served during World War II and honors their extraordinary actions. These Marines used their language to transmit encrypted messages throughout the Pacific Theater, helping pave the way to an American victory.
Mm-hmm.
In 1982, President Reagan designated August 14th as a day dedicated to all members of the Navajo Nation and to all Native Americans who gave of their special talents and their lives so that others might live.
Cool. Absolutely. Remembering all those who served and, you know, the code, they couldn't break it. The Navajo language, just my quick memory on this whole era and the history of this. The Germans, Japanese, they couldn't break the Navajo language. It wasn't written down anywhere or anything. So all these guys served and were able to pass messages back and forth, you know, and communicate. So pretty
made
cool.
Made a difference.
Pretty cool. Made a big difference. Probably couldn't be repeated now because now you'd have some AI computer gathering it. And it's just,
yeah,
the world
now
has
it's
changed.
More out there.
The world has changed so much. Thanks for that, Congressman Crane. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. That's TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. All right, we got more when we come back. Remember, if you're refinancing your home, to call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. First of all, Nova Home Loans is Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender. So that gives them the ability to make decisions like a bank, but also they can act like a broker. And Kim Dawson has access to all the best programs. So if you're thinking about refinancing your home, maybe you're selling a home, you're upgrading to another one, you need a loan, cash out refinance with some of those values out there. Multifamily homes, second homes, off-grid properties. Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, she's the one that'll get this done for you. I've used Kim Dawson. My family's used her. She's done an excellent job for us. I know she'll do a great job for you as well. By the way, I mentioned the Jeff Horvitz Show. When you do a loan with Kim Dawson and you can get at closing up to $250 off, call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. Kim Dawson, 928-310-6458, or go to NovaHomeLoans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Final thoughts when we come back. Hang tight.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
This is Jeff Horvitz, and if you listen to my show, you know that I recently had the blinds replaced in my house. And when we decided to get this done, obviously we called my friends at the Blind Brothers, and we weren't going to deal with anybody else because this is a great Northern Arizona company. They don't use subcontractors, so you know who you're dealing with. Now, the Blind Brothers came in. They laid out all the options for us. We picked out, my wife Angela and I, a great set of blinds. They gave us a great price. We opted to have them do the installation, which they can do for up to half off the price, as well as any other advertised specials. It's a great deal. They came in, they took out all the old blinds, got rid of them, hung the new blinds. They work perfect. We are very, very happy. I want you to do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. I know you're going to be happy. That's 928-634-2423. Or go online. They have great monthly specials at theblindbrothers.com. I was reading this article on Fox Business News over the weekend about this Canadian guy who bought one of the F-150, the Lightning, the electric version, and he's not happy. Yeah, I don't know if anyone's gotten one of those out there, but he says he spent a bunch more, obviously. Then he had to upgrade his electric in his home, like 10 grand or something.
Oh, dang.
He was like in this thing over six figures, 100 and something plus $1,000 by time he upgraded the electric. And then there was the car rental, the gasoline car rental he had to get while he took a trip.
I was like, wait a second, gas, doesn't that defeat the purpose?
Well, it certainly does. It goes to show you when here's the deal. He got in, he's somewhere up in Canada, and I think he's going back east to the U.S. somewhere. So he takes his Lightning, his Ford EV, and he couldn't find charging places. He kept having trouble, and then at one point he's like got 12 miles left, that the charge says it's at. He could not find places. Couple places he stopped, the charging stations just wouldn't even work; they were broken. Finally, he got to a point where the thing, I guess, ran out of juice, and he had to call a tow truck, and then he had to go rent a gas car, and finish off his trip. And then finally he came back, he picked up the EV, got back to Canada, and he was warning people to understand this technology better, to know what they're getting. I think he used something in the lines of the words of scam, the whole EV thing.
Oh, yes. Well, because two things. One, if everyone is promoting the electric vehicles, yep, you'd think that they'd get out there a way to charge it, or else it's scare
useless.
People away.
Here's what this thing is. This is an urban commuter method of travel. If you live in a big city, you're going to find charging ports. You're not going far. You're going 20, 30, 40 miles at the most. That's what they should be marketing. They shouldn't be marketing rural and trip takers and tow your boat. They're going to make this. And Ford's lost a ton on their EV division. They're lucky they have a gas division, or they'd be broke. Of course, the federal government would probably come in and save them. But they should be marketing this as local. Use this as a commuter vehicle. You're not going to
exactly
tow your big boat with this
thing. And then it wouldn't be
bad.
And my second point was like, okay, like a road trip
with an EV.
With an EV. But yeah, also like you'd think that you'd make sure ahead of time that you had a course.
Yeah.
That had the charging.
You'd have to plot it all out. So it's getting in your car and just
so
going. Yeah, it doesn't
versus
work.
Versus the gas where all right, reliable.
Hey, I appreciate everyone listening. Please go to talkwithjeff.com. We've got videos up there. Also the YouTube channel. Look up Orbitz and subscribe. I appreciate everyone doing that. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Take care. See you soon.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.